Amen. All right, well, go ahead, take your Bibles now this evening and turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 3. 1 Peter, chapter number 3, and verse number 7. As gentlemen always should, we did ladies first. So 2 weeks ago, we covered verses 1 through 6, talked about the wife's role in marriage. And now, gentlemen, it's your turn. It's time to talk about what God expects out of a Christian husband. Really, in all reality, what God expects out of any husband. What we're going to read tonight is not just what God expects out of a Christian marriage, because God designed marriage to be just that, marriage. Whether you're a Christian or not, marriage is marriage. And so every husband really ought to be living this way, but especially a Christian husband. And so looking forward to getting in there tonight. So let's see. Go ahead and stand if you're there. Let me know by saying amen. Oh, I didn't hear too many amens, so I'll give you another second here. All right, 1 Peter, chapter number 3, verse number 7. When you get there, let me know by saying amen. Amen. All right, sounds like just about everybody's there. All right, so 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7. Peter writes here under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them," talking about your wives, "dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." So tonight, let's wrap up part two of our corporate marriage counseling sermon mini-series within a series. So may God bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. We'll get to our message here tonight. There at the garage sale, they had a really nice china hutch cupboard out there. And a family living down in Chehalis, they moved down there in March. And they'd been looking for something like that, but furniture's so expensive. And when they pulled up and he saw that, he said, he nudged his wife, said, "Honey, look, look what they got there." And she's like, "I know, I already saw it." And they're able to get that for a screaming deal. And they were just tickled pink. They loved it. And if it didn't sell, I was like, that'll make a perfect sermon illustration for me. I'd have it up here tonight, a full display for you to really drive home, for me to drive home a picture for you. Because, gentlemen, in relation to your wives, well, speaking of your wives, you need to understand this. Wives can be likened unto fine china. All right? Wives are just like fine china. They are beautiful, delicate, have about them a certain aura of elegance, and expensive. Some husbands make the mistake of putting their wives on a pedestal or into a china cabinet, okay? Like, they're constantly admiring them. They're putting them on display, but never enjoying them as they were designed to be enjoyed. What good is china in the cabinet if you just look at it? Sure, it looks pretty, but it's not functional. On the other hand, other husbands, on the exact opposite end of the spectrum, make the mistake of treating their wives like any other ordinary dish. They put them away in the cabinet, not the china hutch, but like the actual cabinets, and only pull them out when needed. They aren't very gentle with them. They heat them up in the microwave of anger and run them through the dishwasher of neglect. A complete lack of concern for how they were designed to be treated. You don't treat fine china like your everyday dish. In the same way that fine china should be treated with far more care than any other typical dish, wives should be treated by their husbands in a way that reflects the greater value placed upon them than any other woman. In the very unlikely case you haven't noticed yet, men and women are different. I know. Our society doesn't understand that. This is a concept I don't understand why, but this is a concept people seem to be confused about. Let me, please, tonight, set the record straight. Based on the authority of the Word of God, men and women are different. Amen for that. I'm so glad my wife is not like me. Amen. They march to the beat, men and women, they march to the beat of two different drums.
And while they won't ever be able to have the same drum, because they are two different drums, they need to be able to work together to get their individual drums to play in sync with one another. Peter, in this one verse, lays out three specific ways that a husband needs to treat his wife if he desires to live an unhindered walk before the Lord. So, men, if you're not interested in having a good walk with God, I should say husbands, if you're not interested in having a good walk with God, then just ignore the rest of this message. But if you do truly desire to walk before the Lord in all holiness and in subjectivity to God and His Word, you need to pay attention tonight. Because point number one, you need to understand this. A husband needs to dwell with his wife according to knowledge. Contrary to popular belief, your wife does come with an instruction manual. It's true. I heard the scoff. It's true. Your wife does come with an instruction manual. The gentleman who shall remain unnamed is in his mind thinking this. She does? Where is it, Pastor? I've looked everywhere, but I sure can't find it. If you haven't found it yet, it's because you're looking in the wrong place. That's why you haven't found it. You're looking in the wrong place. It's not written down in a book somewhere. You can't Google your wife's social security number and download the instructions for her specific model. It doesn't work like that. The only place that you're going to find her instruction manual is in her heart. That is where her instruction manual is. The only way to access it is by getting to know her beyond a surface level. Get to know her heart, her desires, her dreams, her goals. Believe this or not, this is full of like revelations tonight. Believe this or not, she has hopes and dreams of her own that extend beyond fixing you meals and washing your clothes. I was amazed. I was just made aware of this in my study for this message. I'm kidding. But there are things your wife wants to do beyond just serving you. And it's so easy for us husbands to fall into the trap of thinking that since we are the providers for our family, we are the head of our home, that whatever our dreams and goals are the same ones that our wife must have. It might do you well to remember that she has sacrificed a lot by marrying you. For example, before we were married, my wife had dreams of being an interior designer. She took college courses in pursuit of that dream, but then when we got married, she shifted that focus a little bit away from that and started to pursue a degree in elementary education. She was going to be a teacher. Now, with me being in the Navy and moving around a lot, even those plans had to change because it's difficult to get a college degree when you're constantly having to transfer to different colleges and they never will accept 100% of your credits. They're always like, I'll accept 80%. And my wife, bless her heart, she doesn't have a college degree, but she has the equivalent of a master's degree in college. She has more college credits than I do, I think. It's just they would not accept all of her credits every time we moved. And so finally, well, we had to do something different. My wife had purposed to obtain a college degree, but had to give up on that goal because it conflicted with her responsibilities as a wife. That is just one of the big ways that my wife has sacrificed in order to be married to me. I think that if we husbands actually took a moment to ponder everything that our wives had sacrificed for us, it would make it a lot easier for us to sacrifice for them. Husbands should set the standard and lead by example. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. This verse teaches that the husband-wife relationship is designed to be where each one seeks to serve the other, not seek to be served by the other. Do you hear the difference in those two statements? One is others focused. I'm seeking to serve you, whereas the other one is self-focused. What can you do for me? How can you serve me? The husband is the one who is supposed to make the first move, to set the example. That's why the verse says, likewise. I'll move it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. And likewise, in the exact same manner that has been set forth for this, let her do the same thing. Let also the wife unto the husband. The wife is to observe how her husband is treating her and then return the favor. The phrase due benevolence means to be or become bound by obligation to do kind or charitable acts. You're welcome. Men, how kind or charitable are you towards your wife? Do you tell her that you love her on a daily basis? Do you reaffirm that love through acts of kindness, such as leaving her a cute note on the mirror, or surprising her with flowers, or even just helping her around the house? To dwell with her according to knowledge, you are going to have to put effort to actually getting to know your wife. Don't assume that you know. Please, do not just assume that you know. Sit down with her over a date and genuinely listen to her as she shares with you her heart. You can't just go through the motions either. She'll know if you're being genuine. You can't fake it. I cannot pull the wool over my wife's eyes. She knows if I'm not being real. And your wife does too. And if she detects that it's just an act, do you know what she's going to do? She's going to bottle up and simply say that she's, what's the word?
Fine.
All the ladies do it. And simply say that she's fine. By the way, men, if you didn't already know, if your wife ever says she's fine, be warned, she's not. The exact opposite is true. Don't run. Figure out what you did wrong and seek forgiveness and get that corrected. Point number two tonight, husbands. A husband needs to be respectful towards his wife. Needs to be respectful. She's not your doormat. She's your wife. Never speak negatively about her to others, because quite frankly, it's none of their business. I do my absolute best to never say a negative thing about my wife, especially in public. It's none of people's business. If I have beef with my wife, we're going to sit down over dinner and eat it. I'm not sharing. Peter instructed husbands to give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. The word honor means the state of being highly respected or revered. It is disrespectful to criticize others, especially when they're not around to defend themselves. So men, don't be talking bad about your wife if she's not around to defend herself. And a husband should also never put his wife in a position in which she would have to defend herself. So there goes your excuse for talking bad about her even if she is with you. You should never put her in that position to have to defend herself. One of the roles that a husband has is what? The role of a protector. He defends and he protects his wife. She should feel the safest around him, not fear that he's going to turn on her at a moment's notice. Treat her the same way that you would treat an expensive, fragile vase, vase, whichever you prefer. I'm from the South, we say vase. When Peter compared the wife to a weaker vessel, it was not in the context of saying that women are inferior to men. That's not what he was even talking about. In fact, he wasn't even addressing the position of women at all. He wasn't trying to say men are here, women are here. That was not at all what he was even trying to say. What he was doing is he was using an analogy to help create a visual image as to the nature in which a husband should treat his wife. So as you would treat a weaker vessel, that's how you should treat your wife. As you would treat an expensive Ming vase that if you break it, you buy it, that is how you should treat your wife. Did you ever have a rule in your house growing up to not throw things in the house? I had that rule growing up. And you know what happened when I didn't follow that rule? I broke things. I got in trouble. But that rule was there because inevitably you will break something expensive through one careless toss. Men, your wife is that expensive object that if you break her, you can never replace her. Be careful to not throw things around her. Think about how your words and actions will affect her. Think about how your tone, the way you say things, will affect her. Remember that the day you were married, the both of you became one flesh. I really don't like those jokes that put down husbands and make them to be just this dumb oaf. I really hate those jokes. I'll give you one as an example. What's mine is now hers, and what's hers is still hers. I really don't like jokes like that. It's just a subtle way of undercutting what the Bible teaches about marriage, and while we may laugh about it, ha-ha, that's silly, we actually live as if that were indeed the truth. Marriage is about putting the needs of your spouse above your own. If both of you are doing that, then both of you are going to have your needs met. It's when one of you starts to get selfish and stops attending to the needs of the other one that needs begin to go unmet. So men, treat your wife in the same manner as fine china should be treated, with care and respect so as to preserve their worth. You and your wife are one flesh. Your body belongs to hers. Your thoughts belong to her. And just as her body and thoughts belong to you. So live accordingly. Point number three tonight. Who knows? We might actually finish up early. And all God's people said, yeah, right. Point number three tonight. A husband is not any better than his wife. A husband, I'm preaching from the Word of God here. A husband is not any better than his wife. In God's eyes, husbands and wives, all believers are on an equal playing field. There are no special privileges. There are no advantages given to believers based on their gender role. People who say that the Bible is demeaning towards women speak ignorantly, and they display their foolishness for all to see when they speak without knowledge. It wasn't until Jesus even came onto the scene that women began to even be viewed as equals with men. It was Jesus who lifted up the status of women. All of those groups out there that claim Christianity is chauvinistic and oppressive towards women are either blindly repeating what someone else told them, never bothering to actually fact check and see if it's true or not, or secondly, they are intentionally trying to oppose God. It's either one of those. You either just don't know, you're just repeating what someone else told you, what you heard, or you do know, and you're just choosing to fight against it. There's really no in between there. In his letter to the Galatian believers, Paul actually addressed the same issue. Galatians 3, verse 28, he said, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." Both the husband and the wife are joint heirs. They are heirs together of the grace of life. Peter is referring to God's gracious gift of eternal life. Remember the context, who he's talking to. He's writing his letter to people who are already believers. He's not writing to lost people trying to convince them what a biblical marriage is. He's writing to believers and saying, this is what your marriage needs to look like. Because a believing husband and a believing wife are recipients of the same grace, a husband should view and treat his wife accordingly, because failure to do so will affect his own spiritual life. Dissension with your wife will hinder your own prayer life. When things are not right between me and my wife, I definitely feel this. I feel my prayer life is hindered. It's not so much that I feel like God's not hearing my prayers. It's more so I'm not in the mood to pray. It's not that I don't think God no longer hears my prayer when I'm not on the perfect grounds with my wife. It's just, I just don't feel like praying right now. That's how I believe my prayer life is hindered, because I'm at odds there. Therefore, I don't even want to pray. And that is a dangerous place to be. When things are not as they should be between a husband and a wife, prayer is the most important thing that they need. But that will require you to stop thinking about how you feel and start thinking about what actions you need to do and take to honor the Lord. It doesn't matter how you feel. What honors God? That needs to be how we think. Do you need to repent for responding in anger? Do you need to ask for forgiveness from your wife because of the way you responded to her? Making the choice to do what you know to be right can be a hard thing. I get it. I've been there. I know. But I've also found that when I swallow my pride and when I humble myself before God, that my relationship with my wife is more quickly restored than when I don't. I can do case studies on this with my own marriage. But the same is true for everyone else. The time that you choose to swallow your pride, just, Lord, I want to get this right. I want to honor you with this. And you pursue that path. Whatever rift there is between you and your spouse will get healed that much quicker. It's just we like to prolong things. We like to suffer, don't we, men? It makes us feel more manly. Like, I suffered for 2 weeks. How long did you suffer for? No. Okay, I suffered for 10 minutes. That's how long it took me to get my head on right and get right with God and get right with my wife. And I feel great. How do you feel? Miserable. In the times that I get restored with my wife more quickly, I also sense and I feel that my prayer life is back on track. I'm now able to resume unhindered because sin has been addressed and removed, and because I'm not wallowing in self-pity. I feel like praying again. No one likes to pray when they're just, woe is me. The world's against me. Nobody likes me. Okay, Eeyore, keep moping. I'm going to go be with Tigger. We're going to have some fun. A husband and wife, remember, they are heirs together. If the wife shows submission and the husband consideration, and if both submit to Christ and follow his example, then they will have an enriching experience in their marriage. That's the key. Submission, consideration. If not, they will miss God's best and they will rob each other of the blessing and growth that God's trying to give them. Now, the grace of life, it may refer to children, perhaps. They certainly are a heritage of the Lord. But even a childless couple can enjoy spiritual riches if they will obey Peter's Holy Spirit-inspired admonitions. It might be good if husbands and wives occasionally took inventory of their marriages. So I'm going to give you some questions that you can ask each other. Are we partners or competitors? Are we helping each other become more spiritual? Are we depending on the externals or the eternals? The artificial or the real? Do we understand each other better? Are we sensitive to each other's feelings and ideas, or taking each other for granted? Are we seeing God answer our prayers? Are we praying together? Are we enriched because of our marriage, or robbing each other of God's blessing? Honest answers to these questions will make all the difference. Because if you can sit down and just be open and honest about things, you can see where you are and see where you need to start improving and start taking action steps to improving. So, told you I'd wrap it up here pretty quick. We'll go ahead and close with an invitation. I have our ask our musicians to please come. As we all stand to our feet, as the musicians come, I want to invite you to respond as you feel led by the Holy Spirit. So let's go before the Lord. We'll pray, and we'll have a time of invitation. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you so much for just the truth of your word. Lord, we can make life so much more complicated because of our own choices, because of our own sinful actions. When in reality, Lord, if we just sit back and we listen to what you've instructed us to do, and we open up our hearts, Lord, to what you would desire, we could not only solve our problems more quickly, we could be a lot happier in life doing so. So I pray, Father, tonight that as we did speak directly to husbands and how they should be treating their wives and living in their marriages like this, I pray, Lord, that even the wives who are present tonight, the children, the singles, the unmarried, Lord, the widows and widowed, Lord, that each and every one of us will take into account that the overarching theme of all of this is that we need to become more like Christ, more like your Son. We thank you, Lord, for this example. We thank you for your word. I pray and ask you, Father, tonight that you please help us to honor that word and apply it to our lives and make changes tonight. It's in Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. So if you need time to respond this evening, won't you come? Won't you come?